Open your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Father, we thank you for this service this morning. I thank you for every ear that's attuned to you and every heart that's open and ready to receive. Lord, let not one person be the same, but let everyone be changed as we behold you. Lord, as we behold you, we shall be changed. Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place. Touch, change, transform, renew each person. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Notice all of these things, we call them gifts of the Spirit. We call them manifestations of the Spirit. These are different ways the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. And in this, we see that it's the way he designed it is as he wills. Now, I kind of say this humorously, but we don't just carry this in our back pocket. I don't just carry gifts of healings in my pocket. I can just heal anybody. Now, we can pray for anybody and use our faith, what we would call general faith, the same faith that every person has. But there is a difference. There is not only healing, there's gifts of healings. There's working of miracles, something that's just beyond the ordinary. And all of these gifts, we began just a few weeks ago talking about, we began with what we call the revelation gifts. Now, what are the revelation gifts? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. So as they denote, they reveal something. They let you know something. And so, does God do the same thing today? Can God give you a word of knowledge about something? Can God show you something? Many times when we have a witness of the Spirit, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's the primary way that God leads us today. God doesn't lead us just by flipping a coin. God doesn't just lead us by, you know, happenstance or circumstance or opportunities. God leads us by his Spirit. And we have to learn how to follow him. And, you know, the witness of the Spirit is not a voice. Even though there can be times where the Spirit of God may speak up on the inside of you, and to you it seems like an audible voice. But it's a witness. It's a. You can say it like this, it's an inner endorsement. So many times when the Lord speaks to you, you have a witness about something. It can be a word of knowledge that comes to you. Go this way. Go do this. And so we need this in our life. We need the direction of the Lord. Thank God we don't have to go to soothsayers. We don't have to go to Madam whoever and you know have my palm read. Amen. I can put my palms on this Bible, and I can read it and open it and say, Lord, speak to me. You know, anytime you want the Lord to speak to you, just say, Lord, I'm going to open your word and speak to me today. Yeah. Show me what you have for me. Yeah. And then he'll speak to you. Yeah. And so all of these gifts are supernatural. So we began talking about the revelation gifts. And how many think that we need this today? Oh, yeah. And so I want to continue along the lines of the manifestations of the Spirit. And I want to begin today talking about what we call the power gifts. power gifts. Now, this is where there's a showdown right here. You know, when you see where God shows out and God shows himself strong, this is what we call the power gifts. Now, let me say this. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we can also break it down like this. Three of them say something, three of them do something, and three reveal something. So the first three revealed something. The ones we're going to talk about starting today, there are three that do something. And it's the gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. All of these are power gifts. So everyone say the gift of faith. So we're going to be talking about the gift of faith. Now, as we study this, we're not talking about your ordinary faith to be born again. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something beyond that. He's talking about, because a lot of times the people will see that and they'll think, well, you know, just believe God for this. And people in their mind think, well, I don't have special faith for that. Well, you don't need special faith. You just need to feed and exercise your own faith that you have in the Bible. Yeah. But there are times when you can exercise the gift of faith. Yeah. And so what is the gift of faith? Those who operate in the gift of faith, they can believe God in such a way that God takes their word as his own and miraculously brings it to pass. And we're going to look at different examples in the Bible, but I want to lay a good foundation first. So the gift of faith. Now, the Amplified Bible and other different translations call it the special faith. Now, I like that. It's special faith. It's not just ordinary faith. It's special faith. Amen. Now, I like the illustration that my pastor gives on this. He says this. He said the gift of faith is where you take someone and you unscrew their head, just like a top. You unscrew it. You pick them up. You dump them, turn them upside down and dump out everything that's of them, of the natural, of the flesh. Then you stand them back on their feet. Then you take a big jug of God's super duper high octane faith. You pour it on the inside of them, put their head back on, tighten it up, and then they go in God's supernatural gift of faith. Yep. Amen. It's like Clark Kent becoming Superman. Yep. You know, he was a bumbling reporter, you know, and he's always trying to fix his glasses and he just, you know, going on. And then all of a sudden, though, he goes in that phone booth and what happens? Amen. He becomes something he wasn't. Now, that's the way the gift of faith is. The gift of faith will come on you, and the gift of faith is there at different times in your life. Now, I know even, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll tell you this. When we stepped into this building almost 2 years ago, it was by the gift of faith. Because, yeah, you believe God. You believe God to do something, and you feed your faith, and you know God's going to do something big. But then it just drops on you. Yep. It's like a mantle. It's like a coat, something that will fall on you. Yeah. And you will know it. You either have it or you don't. Just like Revelation, you either have it or you don't. Yep. But we had the faith to believe God for this building. Yep. And you know, it looked impossible. Yep. You need this much money. We didn't have that much money. And not even close. But God worked things out. God worked the deal. Yeah. And we're so thankful for that. Yeah. How many are glad for this place that the Lord's given us? Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as we've, yes. And, you know, we've done a lot just in the last few months with this wall and these two offices, painting the stage back here. And so this is just the beginning. But the gift of faith is supernatural. So when we talk about these gifts of power, working of miracles, gifts of healings, and special faith is the greatest of all three of these. And I've heard many people say if they could only have one, they would have the gift of faith. You know why? Because here's what the gift of faith is. The gift of faith is the faith to receive a miracle. It's the faith to receive a miracle. Who needs a miracle in your life? Maybe financially, in your body. We all are at that point, you know. And that's why when I told my wife what I was preaching, she said, I need that. Because we need the gift of faith. We need, and here's the thing. As you exercise your faith and you build your faith, I believe that as you use your faith and you use it till it runs out, so to speak, then the gift of faith will step in. Amen. God's high octane faith. And that's what we need in this day and this hour. So it is a gift of the Spirit to the believer so he might receive a miracle. Now, the working of miracles is a gift of the Spirit given to a believer so he might work of miracles. That he might work a miracle. When you go out there and you hold your rod over the Red Sea, that's working a miracle. But when you're in the lion's den, and normally the lions will eat you up, but you receive a miracle, and they, when Daniel said, they said, Daniel, you know, did your God deliver you? They said, yes, king, and he said, you know, he shut the mouth of the lions. How many know that's receiving a miracle? That's the gift of faith in operation. Amen. And it just shows you, though, all the gifts work together, and all the gifts, you have to operate in what God gives you. And here's the best thing. What's the most important gift? The one that you need at the moment. Now, I can guarantee that Samson, if he would have, you know, his gift operated a little differently. I mean, there'd have been kitty fur everywhere in there if it would have been Samson. He would just ripped them apart. Now, think about this. Think about Samson. Now, we know that Samson missed it in life. And you know, we all have to guard ourselves and make sure that we walk before the Lord right. But just to give you an example of the difference, look at Samson. No one... We don't have the right to say or the anything in the Bible that tells us that Samson was some big, you know, 6'8", 350, and, you know, he could just, you know, bench press 600 pounds. Nothing ever said anything about his size. But he had the power and the spirit of might on him. In fact, one time as they're there, his enemies are there. And you know, how many remember, one of the Samson's problems is he talked about all these strange women. And that's what got him in trouble. And but anyway, this one time, you know, and they said, you know, Samson, your enemies are upon you. And he would just break these cords and just stand up and do all kind of things. Took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 people. I mean, that's the spirit of might. In fact, one time they said, you know what, we're going to wait out for him. And we're going to kill him. We're going to kill Samson. And so there he is. It's in the like midnight hour, and he wakes up, and they say, Samson, your enemies are upon you. So anyway, he gets up, and they're lying in wait in the field. Samson gets up, and he grabs the city gates. Now, these are gates that go way down in the ground and cemented down in there. You could race many chariots across the wall. So this would keep armies out. We're not just talking about a little gate, you know, that right there at the gas station that keeps you from going inside the get your car washed. We're not talking about just a little bar that goes across. We're talking about gates that would keep cities up. So here Samson is. He goes up, grabs one, pulls it up out of the ground, grabs the other, puts it on his shoulder, walks up a hill. And his accusers and killers, they say, maybe we should just leave him alone. I think I would run too. Well, see, that was the spirit of might. See, that was his anointing. But, you know, he got it to where he took God for granted. And one time he said, it got to the point where he said, I wist not, I didn't know that the spirit of the Lord had left me. That's why David, when he sinned, he cried out and said, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Because if he ever left, you'd be doomed forever. Thank God he doesn't leave us even when we do miss it. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So I said that to say this. Everyone's anointing is different. There in the lion's den, what did Daniel do? He prayed. That was his anointing, and he prayed and received a miracle. So we need this gift of faith today. Thank you, Lord. But faith, just like prayer, is often confused. So I want to share for just a few moments about the four kinds of faith that we see in the Bible. There's saving faith, general faith, the fruit of faith, or what we call faithfulness, and then the gift of faith. Now, why is this important? Because many times you learn what something is by learning what it is not. So saving faith, number one. What is saving faith? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So how does this faith come? It's imparted through the Word of God. Right. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, just give me, pray for me, or they try to pray for faith. But you don't pray for faith, you hear the Word of God and that gives you faith. Yep. Someone described it like this. When you listen to the Word of God being preached, riding piggyback on that word is a substance called faith. So faith is there. Whenever the light of the word comes, then faith is there. So saving faith, you know, maybe the first time you heard that Jesus loves you, that Jesus came and died for you, Jesus wants to save you. Then what happened is faith arose in your heart. Faith to be saved. Now, maybe you didn't have much of anything, but you had faith to be saved. So we all start with that saving faith. Then number two, we have general faith. Romans 12 verse 3 says this, that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Once we accept Christ into our hearts, what happens? We are given a measure of the God kind of faith. The same faith that spoke worlds into existence. That same faith is on the inside of you. Now, it's very minuscule, it's very underdeveloped, but it's there. That seed is there. So as you begin to meditate upon the Word of God, as you feed on the Word of God, what's going to happen? It's going to build, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because you feed it and you exercise it. So this general faith can be increased by feeding on the Word of God and exercising it. But, as we said, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of faith is a different thing entirely. So furthermore, general faith is also the faith by which we ordinarily receive answers to prayer. Whether it's for healing, whether it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's all by the general faith in the Word of God. We receive answers to prayer by faith. Now think about this. If we had to have special faith every time to receive answers, then we'd have to wait until we received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And just because, you know, people have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean they can't exercise faith. I was born again many months before I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And at that point, I still was using my faith. I was using my faith on a daily basis. And so every one of us can exercise our faith. Now, 1 Corinthians, if you're there in chapter 12, just look over in verse 29. 1 Corinthians 12, actually look in verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. Helps. I mean, when we talk about the church needing help, this is a valid ministry we see in the Bible. Yep. Everyone say helps. Governments, and of course, governments we see is the office of the pastor. Diversities of tongues. Now listen to what he says here. Are all apostles? Now what's the obvious answer there? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? So what's he saying? Not everyone has the same gift. Do all speak with tongues? Now, don't take that out of context. A lot of people take that out of context and say, yeah, see right there, the Bible says not all speak with tongues. But what's he talking about? All of these are ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then he doesn't just change midstream and start talking about something else. He's talking about the ministry gift of tongues. He's talking about those that are used in what's called diverse or different kinds of tongues. And we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. So all of these things, there's an obvious no. Well, the same thing is this. Does everyone have the gift of faith? Well, no. But here's the great news. Potentially, we can all be exercising in all these gifts as the Spirit wills. So what does that mean? You keep an open heart. Yeah. You keep an open heart. And here's one of the great things. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that your spirit is communing with God. And what happens is that's the doorway to the supernatural. And as you begin to open that gift, that's the least of all the gifts. It's just the doorway into the supernatural. So the more you pray in other tongues and the more you pray in the Spirit, the more these other manifestations will come in your life. So that is what we call general faith. Number three, the fruit of faith. So what is the fruit of faith? Galatians 5:22. See, I'm laying this groundwork because I want you to understand that there's many different, you know, people think faith is faith, but it's not. There's many different kinds of faith, and then there's also the gift of special faith. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. But as we read the original in the Greek scriptures, this word for faith is not called faith at all, but faithfulness. Everyone say faithfulness. So while the fruit of the Spirit is for the development of Christian character, we need this. We need Christian character. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is for. You don't want to just have power and no fruit. We don't want to just have power and not any fruit. But we don't want to just have fruit and no power. So let's have both together, what you say. So while the fruit of the Spirit is for the development of Christian character, the gifts of the Spirit are to produce power in the believer's life. Fruit is something that grows. But faith and faithfulness is a fruit that grows to establish you in this character, we said. But the gift of special faith, one translation, the Weymouth translation, says this. To a third man by the means of the same Spirit, because like the King James says, to another. The Weymouth says, to a third man by the means of the same Spirit, special faith. So the Weymouth also calls it special faith. So then, number four, the gift of faith. The King James in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 12, to another faith by the same Spirit. So we see that the gift of faith is not imparted to all, but it's imparted as the Spirit of God wills and is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit to receive a miracle. Now, we say this many times that it's as the Spirit of God wills, but he wills more than we will many times. You know, we think it's almost like the Bible tells us in John chapter 5 that there was a porch, and it said Solomon's porch, and it talks about that there were sick folks there, and it said that every once in a while there was an angel that would come down and stir the waters. See, that's what a lot of people think. Well, I'm just waiting for the God to come down and stir the waters. When they're not even trying to build their faith, they're not even trying to exercise their faith. They're just waiting for some supernatural manifestation. Do you know that's why when you have a lot of mass crusades, you'll have people healed, but they're healed on what we would call a big general faith or mass faith. But when they leave, they're on their own for sure. So that's why you have to build your faith. You know why? Because Jesus said this, hold fast to that which you have. Do you know why you have to hold fast to it? Because the devil wants to steal it from you. But everything that you receive from God, some people think, well, if you get it from God, then it's done. But that's not true. You have to hold on to it. Even salvation. You know, people say sometimes, well, you know, are you eternally saved once you're saved? If you stay in Christ. If you stay in Christ. But if you want to go out, if you don't want to serve God anymore, then God will let you do that. I wouldn't recommend it, but. So it's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit to receive a miracle. So how do we distinguish this? The gift of faith is distinguished from the other kinds of faith in the fact that with this special faith, there is a manifestation of the supernatural. Now, you may pray and believe God. Now, who's ever just, you've said, Lord, I know your word says this. I'm asking you to heal me, and I believe I receive. Now, maybe you didn't have flashes of lightning. Maybe the water didn't part. Maybe you didn't walk on the water in your bathtub. But you still received an answer.
Yeah.
But with the manifestations of gift of faith, many times you will have these more spectacular things.
Yeah.
Amen. So of the three power gifts, as we said, the gift of faith, the working of the miracles, and the gifts of healings, the gift of faith is the greatest. And special faith is also different than saving faith. What's that do? It leads us to salvation. General faith, which every believer has, and the fruit of faith, which develops us in Christian character. But the gift of special faith is given, one is given a supernatural ability from God to receive a miracle, whether it be for supernatural protection, supernatural sustenance. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week. But think about supernatural sustenance. Think about the widow. Think about, she received a miracle when the oil didn't run out. The cruse of oil shall not fail. Hallelujah. I say that over you today. The cruse of oil shall not fail.
Amen.
The cruse of oil shall not fail. That was a miracle. In fact, it was a continuous miracle. And you know, there's four different kinds of miracles and we see in the Bible. There's continuous miracles. There's notable miracles. That's the two I remember. So, but continuous miracles. We see miracles that continue on and on. You know when it stopped? It stopped when she stopped. Now, if she would have, she should have went to every neighbor. You know, that's a humbling thing, though, isn't it? You know, can I borrow some of your vessels? You know, can I borrow some of your, you know, years gone by, people would say, can I get a cup of sugar? You know, can I get this or that? You know, people would go to their neighbor. And so the Bible says that they got to the end of that miracle and they said, there's not even one left. And then it said that it stayed. And that was the end of the miracle.
Yeah.
But she went and sold and they lived on the rest.
Yeah.
So we see many different kinds of miracles where the people would receive a miracle. And here's, you know what the key to miracles is? The same thing that Jesus told the group of people at the Cana of Galilee. John chapter 2, the Bible says, this was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did. The same thing that Jesus said is the same thing that's the key to miracles to us. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, can you imagine this? Is there what do you do? They're needing wine. turn water into wine. They're needing something to drink. It's not for anyone to be saved. It's actually one of provision, a miracle of provision. But can you imagine, though, what you know, it just took a little bit of boldness on their part. Because here, can you imagine, they're there and they what does Jesus say? They say, draw the water pots. Well, they don't need water, they need wine. Well, what'd he say? She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so whatever, I mean, in that miracle, we see that they went and drew the water. Now, that took a long time. You couldn't just take a hose and just, okay, we're going to. I mean, you had to draw and you had to get buckets, and it took a long time, and they did all that. But what happened is they drew it, and then he said this, go and give it to the governor of the feast. Now, either you've really missed it and you're about to be in some big hot water, or something supernatural happened. But they tasted it and they said, wow, this is great. And you know, this is, you know, usually people, you know, they give the cheap stuff at the end. But this, you know, you've saved the best until last. Why was that? Because they did what Jesus said. There is a place called there that you have to stay in. And I'm speaking today to many people that you're wondering, where is the provision? Where is God want me? It's in a place called there that he tells you to go to. It's in a place that he says, go to this place. But what if I don't want to go to that place? You know, Lord, I don't want to go down there to Nineveh. Those people, I don't like those people. Jonah hated those people. But you know what happened? He said, I'm going to go down to Tarshish. And I'm going to get a boat ride, and I'm going to go down there. And what happened? He got into some serious trouble. Finally, he's in the middle of that fish, and he cries out. In fact, when you read different scriptures, it says, out of the depths of hell, I cried out. How many know that some situations can cause you to cry out? And so he did. He cried out, and the Lord had that fish vomiting him out on the land. Can you imagine? I don't know if it was just the words that he spoke, or just his hair that still got the gastric juices on his face, you know. Here he shows up, and they have one look at him, and they start repenting. He preaches an 8-word sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they repent. Amen. How much better it would have been if he would have just gone down there and obeyed the Lord. You want a miracle? Then do only what he tells you to do. What about, how many remember what happened to Naaman, the leper? The Lord was very specific. Now, he almost missed it because of this. He showed up and wanted a miracle. And he said, I thought he was going to come out and do this. I thought he was going to wave his hand. I thought it was going to be some big pomp and ceremony, because that's what he wanted. He come up there and he just said, hey, he sends a servant out there and said, hey, go tell the prophet. The prophet said, go and dip. Tell the king to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. He got so mad, he peeled out of the driveway. That's a good southern term. Peeled out of there. And I mean, the tires were chirping out of there. And, you know, he just was, the Bible said he was wroth. I thought he was going to do this. Surely he was going to do this. And thank God he had a servant that said, sir, you know, we were prepared to do all these different things. You know, by evidence of it said he brought all these gifts and changes of clothes. He said, maybe we should just do what the man of God said. And maybe he was all huffy and just, you know, just had to calm down and said, yeah. You know what? I think we should just go down there and dip in that. Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. Let's go. And they go down there. And what happens? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, what if he would have not humbled himself? He would have done without. So miracles, it's not just automatic. You have to do what he says to do. Hallelujah. So that's why we say they're supernatural. Being in the right place at the right time. So we see supernatural protection. We see supernatural sustenance. We see the casting out of unclean spirits. Many times we see that with the gift of faith. Why? Because some people want to just classify a certain situation as a devil, and it may not be. It just may be a physical condition. But, you know, we know we can speak to the mountain, but there's times the gift of faith that comes on you and for casting out devils. Yep. The raising of the dead. Yep. Now, when we see the raising up of the dead, that's actually all three of the power gifts in manifestation. Because you think about someone who's dead, and they, here they are, cold and dead. Think about Lazarus. 4 days. And what happens, you know, Lazarus' sister said, "Lord, by now he stinks." Well, you know, Lord, you surely can't raise him from the dead because now he stinks. And, you know, that we can't raise him from the dead if he stinks. Jesus said, if you believe, did I not say you shall see the glory of God? If you believe, you shall see the glory of God. And so, yeah, I believe, Lord, that he's going to rise in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Woo. I am the resurrection and the life. And so he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I believe it's very specific he was, because there was one time when Jesus, when he was risen, the Bible says that there was many saints that were seen in Jerusalem. It's like, Colin, you never believe who I saw today. I saw Moses. I saw this one. You know, I saw Abraham in the streets. Oh, you got to be joking. The Bible said many saints were seen walking around. So Jesus didn't just say, come forth. He was very specific. Just you, Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says he comes out bound, you know, he's like this. And still got that napkin on his head. And they said, loose him and let him go. That's what you and I are supposed to do. Yep. People get born again, they give their life to the Lord. But then we go and loose them and let them go. Let the grave clothes come off. Amen. Because many people, they've given their life to the Lord, but they still have grave clothes on. Yep. They still have the residue of death that needs to be taken off. Yep. How do we do that? By the power of God. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Notice, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we see the power gifts and other demonstrations of the Spirit. And that's what Paul said. He said, I didn't come here just to give you a good, nice homiletics and hermeneutics here. He said, I came here with some power. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we see the raising of the dead. We see, what do we see? We see it takes a special faith. Yes. It's not just ordinary faith that you're going to raise somebody from the dead. But it takes gifts of healings. Well, it takes working of miracles to bring them back from the dead, but also they have to have healing or they'll die from the same thing. So why am I saying that? Because these things happen today. God wants to use us. Maybe he will never use you to raise the dead, but he'll use you in many of these different things. We see the gift of faith in supernatural manifestations and impartations. Such as in the laying on of hands for the Holy Spirit or the pronouncement of blessings. Now, let me just give you a couple examples real quickly. How many remember Jacob? Jacob, who was also, his name became Israel. He had 12 sons. And what happened? The Bible says that he, you know, in the beginning he was a trickster. You know, he was quite the trickster, and his name got changed to Israel, but the time came when it was time for him to go. He knew it was time to die, to go be with the Lord. And the Bible says that he called all his kids in and pronounced blessings over them. How many remember Jacob and Esau? Esau stole the blessing when Isaac pronounced blessing. So the blessing is something that's supernatural. It's something that's imparted, just like the laying on of hands. See, the laying on of hands is something that's holy, and it's something that's imparted. When you are walking in faith, you impart something to other people. And if the person is in faith and they want to receive as well. Otherwise, you're just laying empty hands on empty heads. So what happened, though? The patriarchs, they spoke blessings that would come to pass in the future. And they say, this is what's going to happen to you. And they said, this one, Naphtali, this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Reuben, this is what's going to happen. And you know what? He's prophesying, but he's spoken by the gift of faith. And it came to pass, just like he said. Amen. I think that's a good way to die. Call all the kids in, pronounce blessings over them. And as you do, the Bible said he gathered up his feet and gave up the ghost. Yep. Amen. Without sickness and disease, praise God. And as we said, the gift of faith for personal protection. Daniel received a miracle while he was in the lion's den. And so what is that? That's the gift of faith in operation. Yeah. And so why are we discussing these things? Because these things happen today. A lot of times in church circles, people say, well, you know, all those things passed away when the last apostle died. Well, there still are apostles today. So the last apostle hasn't died. Yeah. And when Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus never died. He did one time, but the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us today. Yeah. So these gifts are for us today. Yes. And if one is supernatural, they're all supernatural. But you know, it's amazing. A lot of times people will take their little theological scalpel out and they're just, okay, we don't want this part. So we're just going to take this part out. Now we'll leave in being born again. But you know, some people even don't even believe that. That it's the will of God that people be saved. They believe that it's just, you know, whoever God is predestined to do that, but we don't know who that is. It's funny how some people in some groups, they believe they're the only ones going to heaven. Now, Brother Hagin tells a story when he was a pastor. This is back in the 1940s, he said that he came across this one group and they said, you're the first person we've met outside of the Church of Christ that's saved. Why? Because that's what they believed. They believed that they were the only ones going to heaven. They were the only people. Well, thank God that God's not just narrow-minded like that. What does he say? He said, all that will freely come can drink of the water of the river of life. God's the one that he says that I'm standing at the door and I'm going to barge in. No. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man will come unto me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe that's what Jesus is doing in the earth today. What people say, what's God doing? He's doing the same thing he's always done. He's saving people. He's filling people. He's changing people. And he's saying this. If any man, he said he stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I'm not judging you. I'm not holding anything against you. Let him come and drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what God wants to do in each individual life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for your word. Thank you for all your people today. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to each person. And I thank you that right now that you touch people from the top of their head and the soles of their feet. Lord, I thank you that you just quicken this word unto them. And Lord, I thank you that you have all the supernatural gifts available to us today. Lord, that as we yield to you, that you have whatever we need at the moment. Lord, that's the one that's important to us. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for manifesting yourself in our life. In Jesus' name.